This podcast was first broadcast on Mix 92.6. Go to mix92.6.com to find more Environment Matters podcasts. And if you enjoy what we do, to find out how you can support the station, which is run entirely by volunteers. I hope you enjoy the podcast. Welcome to Environment Matters with me, Amanda Yorworth. Environment Matters is the show that brings you news on issues of sustainability and the environment from around Hertfordshire and from further afield. Now, to start off with, I'd like to say a big thank you to listener Emma, who emailed amanda.yorworth@mix92.6.com to suggest the topic for this week's show. Because this week we are casting our eyes upwards. Not to the sun, not to the stars, not to the moon, but to something closer to home, the clouds. Now, they're an essential part of the water cycle here on Earth, which keeps us provided with fresh water, and learning more about them is a crucial aspect to our understanding of climate change. In spite of all this, they still tend to get a bad rap, particularly here in the UK. We do seem to like the sky better without them. But clouds do have their supporters, and Gavin Preetapinny is surely one of their biggest fans. Gavin is the founder and member number one of the Cloud Appreciation Society, which now has over 64,000 members in 120 countries around the world. He's the author of 4 internationally best-selling books about clouds, and he's presented television documentaries for the BBC and Channel 4. I spoke to Gavin and I started by asking about our attitude to clouds. The manifesto of the Cloud Appreciation Society pledges to fight blue sky thinking. So why did Gavin think that clouds are so often maligned?
Well, I think we get a lot of clouds in the UK. And especially a year like this, you know, an El Nino year, which is particularly wet. We've had a lot of wet clouds and people don't feel we've had much of a summer. It's very easy to forget about the positive sides to clouds if you've got a lot of them. People just think of them as the things that get between us and the sun. I think, and the Cloud Appreciation Society exists to try and convince people that that's not the best attitude to have. They're here. We actually depend on clouds in many ways that we can discuss. But also, it's very easy to forget that they are a beautiful part of nature, one of nature's most varied, evocative, beautiful displays. And just because they're always there and we take them for granted doesn't mean that it's not very valuable to engage with this abstract art show going on above us every day.
Yes, indeed. I remember a friend saying that they'd seen a postcard of somewhere in the Middle East and they'd known that it had been photoshopped in some way because there was a cloud in the sky. And I did think, my word, wouldn't life be more dull without clouds? So perhaps we should regard ourselves as lucky to have clouds rather than unlucky, which is a normal way of thinking, isn't it?
Well, absolutely. I mean, we would be excited at first because it would feel like we're in the south of France, blue skies every day. And then I think after a while, we'd all start going, you know what, it's getting a bit boring. And after a year of it, we'd be desperate for some clouds, for all sorts of reasons. We've been talking about the beauty of clouds and the extent to which they bring variety and drama into our lives. But of course, we also depend on them for producing fresh water. You know, they change the salty water of the seas into fresh water we can drink. We depend on them for their ability to cleanse the atmosphere of particles, because every droplet or ice crystal in the cloud forms on a tiny speck or aerosol or particle in the atmosphere. And when they rain, they bring them back down to the Earth. So they filter the air of particles and dust and pollution and stuff. And then, of course, the other big one is, overall, if you look at all the clouds around the world, they have a cooling effect on our ground temperatures. And so things would be a lot worse if we didn't have clouds around.
Well, it sounds like we should be thankful for them. And it also sounds like there's a lot of people who share your enthusiasm for clads. Now, in your Clad Appreciation Society, you've got over 64,000 members in 120 countries. Are you surprised that so many people share your passion, given the kind of bias towards blue sky that we seem to have?
Yes and no, it's always the answer, isn't it? But once you stop to think about it, it's not surprising, because we all form a connection with clouds when we're young. This is something I've learned over the 18 years since I set up the Cloud Appreciation Society. Our connection with the sky is forged when we're young, and that means it's an emotional connection that runs deeply. And so to convince somebody that clouds are quite interesting and not simply something to complain about actually seems to tap into this nostalgic part of their brain. And they go, yeah, I know, I do whinge about the clouds, and I don't like the way we can't ever say whether it's going to be good weather when we have a barbecue or something like that. But when I stop to think about it, I think they're quite beautiful, actually. So it's pushing on an open door to some degree to do the Cloud Appreciation Society. But the other thing that doesn't surprise me is it's the most universal aspect of nature. It is something we all share. We all live within the sky, not beneath the sky. And all around the world, no matter what language people speak, and no matter what culture they're immersed in, they all understand the language of the sky and the language of the clouds. Whether or not they know the names of the clouds, they know how the sky works. They're familiar with the sunrise and the sunset. And in an age of division and disagreement, you never find people disagreeing about whether a sunrise is beautiful.
Indeed. But let's go back to those names that you were talking about. I mean, we can appreciate clouds for lots of different reasons, but perhaps learning a little bit about how they differ and why they differ. Do you think we should do a bit more of that?
I think it's good to learn the names of something that you're interested in paying some attention to, because of the way our brains work is we like to name things because they sort of then find a place in our mind. There are 10 main types of cloud. These are just names that we've put on them. Every cloud is unique. They're completely chaotic. They're the beautiful expression of chaos in our atmosphere, the turbulent movements of the air flows. And yet, we're brilliant humans at spotting patterns and similarities. And there are 10 main types, and these are the ones you'll probably remember the names of from school, like the cumulus cloud, which is a solid-looking fair-weather cloud that forms on a sunny day on thermals rising off the sun-warmed ground. Those are the Simpsons clouds. They're the low, bright, white, solid things. Right up to the high clouds like the cirrus, which look like brush strokes across the blue, or the storm cloud, a cumulonimbus. There are 10 of these main types of clouds. So learning one or two of those, I think, is a good start. Because then it means, you know, you look at a sky and you go, I wonder which one that is. Is that one of the ones I know? And it's quite hard in the British Isles to be able to say for sure, because we often have a whole mix of different cloud formations coming across at the same time, all at different levels. And that is not so simple when you're learning the different types, but it's no reason not to start learning some of those types. And it's super exciting then when you see a rare one that perhaps like the Fluctus cloud, which looks like a perfectly breaking wave curling over in a beautiful vortices. Now you've got a series of them often, and the Fluctus cloud, it's rare. It only forms maybe for a few minutes before the curl of this formation breaks up. To see one of those, you feel like you've witnessed something special. Perhaps you were the only person who noticed it and everyone else was busy doing their stuff down here on the ground.
Wow. And thinking now, you know, rather than the sort of science of clouds, they've always been the inspiration for a lot of art, haven't they? Why do they connect with our imaginations so well?
I think it is a simple fact of science that has led to this rich history of clouds playing cameo roles throughout human culture. The simple fact is water is unique on our planet as the only substance naturally found in the three states of solid, liquid, and gas. Just the slightest change in temperature in our atmosphere is enough to encourage water to change from one of those states to another one. And one of those, the gas form of water, water vapor, is in every breath you breathe out. There's water there, but it's a gas form, so you don't see it. It's invisible. The other two, water droplets or ice crystals, solid water, when those are in the sky, you see them as clouds. So clouds have this amazing ability to appear and disappear. Effortlessly, they seem to do that. And this makes them the most excellent metaphors for so many things that inspire artists or poets, or right back to, you know, playwrights like Aristophanes in 550 BCE. The clouds was one of the plays he wrote in comedy, and the other one was the birds. And he talked a lot about cloud spotting and finding shapes in the sky, you know, in a humorous way. You know, then you can see the appearance of clouds in art, generally in the peripheral regions, until you get to the romantic landscape painters when they become much more centrally the stars of the show. But you see it in poetry, where the idea of a cloud appearing and disappearing is makes a cloud feel almost like an idea forming in an absent mind, or an emotion passing over them. They're just the most enticing metaphors for poets. So it's that simple bit of science that's led them to be appearing in this cameo way throughout human culture.
That's fantastic. And I love also that you've made the connection there, not only that we sort of are connecting with other people who are alive now by looking at clouds, but actually with people in the past as well. It must have been part of the human experience since the first human, mustn't it? And we can't say that about many things.
So you both got, through time, but also across geography and in any aspect of nature where you have people. Maybe if they're talking about plants or animals, they will be quite different in terms of different regions of the world. But the skies, you do get different formations being more common in some regions than others. But the basic vocabulary of the sky, by which I mean in a sort of general sense, the different characters you will see up in the sky is the same around the world. So this universal aspect of it means, that you can chart a relationship with the sky both through time and across geographies.
Indeed. And I'm just wondering whether you think that just the act of observing clouds, of looking at the sky, whether you think that this has any impact on, I suppose, on our mental well-being. Do you find you get benefit from looking at the sky, or?
I think it's really important to engage with nature, and I think there's increasing scientific evidence of the benefits of being engaged with nature for our mental health. And for many people, maybe access to nature isn't the easiest thing, because maybe they're living in a very urban environment. Well, if you're living in the middle of a city, the sky is the last wilderness within easy reach. It is always there, and it is always something where you can kind of lift your perspective from the stresses and strains of down here on terra firma. It's the act of looking up. It's like a yoga move. Compare that to looking down at a device. The device in your hand is screaming for your attention, and that constant demand on your attention, that is draining and exhausting for humans. I think we're all beginning to realize over time. And so you have to actively decide to engage with the narrative of the sky. It's not screaming at you and demanding your attention. So you have to choose to engage with it. And I think that choice of being the type of person who spends a few moments with your head in the clouds, just throughout the day, you just choose to engage with the sky, just to have a little half a mind on what's going on above you as you step out of the house or the apartment. And just every now and then, you have to kind of remind yourself to look up. And then when you see something that is perhaps surprising to you or interesting to you, or perhaps somehow seems beautiful, you just are prepared also to pause for a minute and engage with that. It's a narrative, but a narrative with no beginning and no end that you can engage with, and doing so slows you down. It's the sort of irony of having your head in the clouds helps you keep your feet on the ground. I think it's grounding to be engaged with the sky.
Beautifully put. So you want us all to make a particular effort to engage with the sky on Cloud Appreciation Day. And you've named that as Friday, the 13th of September. What would you like us to do?
Well, this is the third year that we're doing Cloud Appreciation Day. And it's really like the first two. What you can do on this day is take a picture of your sky and contribute it to our Memory Cloud Atlas. And this is an atlas of the world with contributions from people all over the world where they've uploaded their photo of the sky and said a little bit about how it makes them feel on that day. So it's like a snapshot, a worldwide snapshot of our views of looking up. And it is an expression of this thing we've been talking about, which is the way that our relationship with this aspect of nature can be something that connects us, and how valuable it is to have an engagement with nature that connects us in that way. So the third year is Friday, September the 13th, and you can see on the Memory Cloud Atlas website, you can see the previous 2 years, so you can browse the views of a world looking up in 2023 and 2022, and you can, on the day itself, you can contribute your own.
What a beautiful idea, a snapshot in clouds of a particular day of existence. Gavin, thank you so much for telling us about that today.
No problem. Absolutely delighted to be here.
I was talking there to Gavin Preetapinny, founder of the Cloud Appreciation Society. And if you'd like to take part in this year's Cloud Appreciation Day on Friday the 13th of September and contribute your cloud photo to the Memory Cloud Atlas, then I'll pop the link into the notes that go with the podcast of this show and that you'll find on the podcast page of mix926.com. So, do you have your head in the clouds? Are you indeed a cloud appreciator? Well, I would love to hear from you via email. I'm on amanda.yorworth@mix926.com or look for Environment Matters on Mix92.6 on X and on Facebook. I'm going to be with you at the same time next week, but until then, thank you for listening.